Hi guys, my name is Eva and I'm the host and the founder of the Baltic Startup Mafia podcast. This is your regular dose of startup stories from three Baltic countries, Latvia, Lithuania and Estonia. In this episode, I'll share with you the biggest investment stories that happened during the summer of 2021. And also I was talking to Lithuanian startup CG Trader co-founder Dalia Lasaite. So you will hear the interview a bit later in this podcast episode. But let's start with the biggest stories of the summer from our unicorn companies. European ride-hailing firm with Estonian roots Bolt raised 600 million euros in funding as it looks to push into the rapidly growing online grocery delivery industry. The new investment round values Bolt at about $4.75 billion. That is more than double of its last private valuation of $2 billion. CNBC quotes Bolt CEO and founder Markus Willig. A year ago, we ran into the biggest crisis the company had seen. We dropped over 80% as all the cities went into lockdown and ride-hailing was still the core business. What has happened in the last 18 months is that we are a very different company now. Ride-hailing since then has already fully recovered. Delivery grew from something that was a relatively small business into now one of the fastest growing food delivery companies in Europe. Quote ends. While another Estonian unicorn company, Wise, that is previously known as TransferWise, participated in largest ever tech listing in London Stock Exchange. Wise shares opened at 800 pence, in line with an auction process in the preceding hours, which saw an indicated price range of 750 to 820 pence. They closed at 880 pence, valuing the company at £8.75 billion or $11 billion and becoming London's biggest tech company by market capitalization. Let's move to other news stories from Estonia. Checkin.com Group, the Swedish tech company, has just entered into an agreement to acquire all shares in the Estonian startup GetID. The purchase price corresponds to an enterprise value of about 8.1 million euro. The acquisition is the first step in Checkin.com Group's strategy to add technologies and strong teams by acquisitions within areas that strengthen the group's already leading software as a service software for check-ins. The acquisition is mainly paid in newly issued shares in Checkin.com Group, with a minor part paid in cash. Founder and CEO Dmitry Lauš will continue to operate in the company and have, without exception, chosen shares as payment. GetID was founded in the beginning of 2019 and has currently annualized revenue of nearly 5 million euro. GetID is an all-in-one identity verification service that streamlines customer onboarding processes, ensures full regulatory compliance, and reduces fraud. Estonian startup Single Earth has now raised a $7.9 million seed funding round to, in its own words, tokenize nature. The funding will be used to launch its marketplace for nature-baked merit tokens. Single Earth plans to build a digital twin of nature that reveals how much any area of ecological significance in the world absorbs CO2 and retains biodiversity. Using environmental data such as satellite imagery, it aims to build global carbon models in which to base its token marketplace, generating profits through carbon compensations, mining a new merit token for every 100 kilograms of CO2 attracted in a specific forest or biodiverse area. Estonia-founded supercapacitor company Skeleton Technologies has raised 29 million euro in an extension of its Series D round, bringing its total amount to 70.4 million euro. The extension comes from Skeleton's existing bakers. With its proprietary curved graphene technology, Skeleton has been working on supercapacitors since its launch in 2009. The company's products are used in automotive, transportation, grid, and industrial applications. Supercapacitors are not the same as batteries, since the supercapacitors store energy in an electric field while batteries use a chemical reaction. Skeleton Technologies is gearing up towards bringing to the market a new product, super batteries, which will sit something in between supercapacitors and traditional lithium batteries. Let's move to Latvia. Sonarworks, the company behind precision audio software used by Grammy Award-winning producers, announced that it has closed a $6 million funding round. The round will help fund the expansion of Sonarworks machine learning audio technology integration with consumer electronics devices globally. The company started off in the professional audio space in 2012. Its patented technologies are now used in more than 70,000 studios globally, including many Grammy Award-winning engineers recording A-list stars like Lady Gaga, Madonna, Rihanna, Adele, Coldplay, and more. Sonarworks now is on the mission to put personal sound experience front row and center for every music listener worldwide. Latvian startup Nordigen says it is bursting the open banking hype bubble with a free API and €2.1 million from a set of new investors. Nordigen is the first free open banking API in Europe, providing connections to all major European banks. Since launching in 2016, Nordigen has been an industry leader in building solutions for turning raw transaction data into actionable insights. As a licensed account information service provider authorized in 31 European countries, the company ensures that there are no more upfront commitments and no hidden costs, just free access to PSD2 data. Their services are already used by some of the most innovative banks, lenders, and fintechs in Europe. Latvian startup Longenesis announced its late seed round for a total of $1.2 million. Longenesis is developing tools to speed up the digitization of biomedical research. Its main objective is to increase patients' engagement and trust with research organizations and study sponsors, as well as enable clinical sites and patient advocacy groups to compliantly expose their patients and data reach for biomedical research. And now let's move to Lithuania. Lithuanian sensor innovator Brolis is one of the first European companies to receive support from the European Investment Bank under a newly available venture debt instrument extended by the European Guarantee Fund. Under the agreement, Brolis will get access to €7.5 million in funding to support the ongoing R&D and rollout of its new sensor technology. Also, the startup has secured €7.5 million investment from the previous investors. The company has developed a wearable biosensor platform and wristband that is able to non-invasively, continuously, and in real time monitor and collect personalized health data. One more news story from Lithuania, and it is about Cinder, a software as a product service for businesses in the US that is designed to automate bookkeeping processes and synchronize multi-channel sales in one single ecosystem for businesses selling online. With the help of the Startup Visa Lithuania program, Startup Cinder opened office in Lithuania in September 2020, and now founders with part of the team are working from there. In 2020, Cinder reached the milestone of transactions worth $1 billion processed for several thousand companies, and now it has announced closing of $2 million funding round. And here is the interview. In February of this year, 3D model provider startup CG Trader has raised $9.5 million in a Series B funding round. Founded in 2011 by 3D designer Marius Kalitis, who is now Chief Operating Officer of CG Trader, the company has become a significant 3D content provider. It even claims to be the world's largest. In its marketplace are 1.1 million 3D models and 3.5 million 3D designers, which service 370,000 businesses, including such giants as Nike and Microsoft. Dalia Lasaita joined the company in 2013 after two failed startups. She started as a head of the marketing and soon became a co-founder and CEO. Here is her story. Today, I have a real pleasure to meet Dalia, and she's a co-founder of Lithuanian startup CG Trader. Let's start with the company. Can you pitch or just tell briefly about the CG Trader?
Yes, so CG Trader is the world's largest provider of 3D models. And we have a very successful stock 3D model marketplace for the professional industry. And also CG Trader Arsenal, which is the 3D modeling and the visuals production platform for e-commerce. And we are one of the largest players in the market in the 3D design space. And more recently, we are focusing very much on e-commerce and helping e-commerce companies generate amazing visuals, including style shots, lifestyle scenes, augmented reality experiences, and so on.
And can you tell a bit how does it work for the user, for the one who creates this 3D model?
Yes. So actually, if you look at CG Trader, it's we have two main business lines. So the one we started with is a stock 3D model marketplace. And that means that designers from all over the world who have made 3D models or are making 3D models, are uploading them to CG Trader. And other professionals, designers, game developers are purchasing them to use them in their projects. So it saves a lot of time and money for the buyer. And we have around 4 million users that use that stock marketplace. We have more than 1 million models, so you can find pretty much anything. And as a company, we take a commission that is very, very designer friendly. That's very important in our company. Now, this business line was focused more on the professional side, the professional 3D designers, art directors, and so on. But a couple of years ago, we saw that other industries are starting to use 3D models as well. And the example is e-commerce. So I'm not sure if you know, but the very famous IKEA catalog is actually, there is no photography there. It's all 3D models. Even when you have like really small plants on the shelf, they are all 3D models. And IKEA has started doing this already a very long time ago. But over past several years, we saw that many other e-commerce companies have started doing this as well. The reason they do it is that 3D models have become so realistic that it's impossible to tell that they are not real. And it's actually much easier, faster, cheaper, and more flexible to use 3D models for your visuals. So if you are manufacturing sofas, instead of waiting like 3 months until they ship from China and then organizing the whole photo shoot physically, you can already use CG Trader Arsenal to create 3D models and then use them in all kinds of different settings. You can have, let's say, for example, you can have silo shots from all different angles, detail shots. You can have, let's say, if you're doing a campaign, you can have a Christmas campaign. And then, you know, in a few months, reuse the same and add some, I don't know, rabbits and eggs. And you have a Easter campaign. So it's actually much more flexible. And then you can also use it for augmented reality. And your customer can place it in their room and have that experience how it would look like. So it, you know, increases conversion, reduces returns, a lot of different benefits. But of course, if you are a large e-commerce company, it's the challenge is how do you get these 3D models, and that's what we solve.
So you solve it by uploading different versions that can be used afterwards by those companies, right?
Yeah, so the way it works is that, let's say, a retailer or an e-commerce company, they send us a list of links to their products or a bunch of low-quality images. We then have our Arsenal platform with 8,000 designers, and these images are distributed to these designers based on their personal capabilities, personal preference, and each of them has a score. Complexity score and so on. And then these designers work. Then we have a quality assurance platform. We have some automated checks and some manual checks. And then the customer reviews it as well. It's very convenient in our platform. And once it's done, we generate the output that the customer needs. So it can be raw 3D models themselves, or it can be images, lifestyle scenes, augmented reality experiences, viewer embeds, and a bunch of other solutions.
But as I understand, I as a 3D artist also can upload this my models in the platform.
Yeah, so this is the first business line where we are talking about stock 3D model marketplace. So you can upload what you have created maybe in your free time or in a project. And for this, the e-commerce companies, they order the models of their products. So very unlikely that the designer has it from before. It has to be custom made. But for designers, what's very attractive about CG Trader Arsenal is that once they get in, they have to pass a test task. But once they get in, they can just open it up and see what jobs are available. They don't need to bid for every job and participate in this contest for every opportunity. But they have their list of the jobs that are personally available to them, and they can just pick and say, I'll do this chair, or I'll do this handbag, or something like that.
We have recently experienced that a lot of companies moved online due to pandemic. And I think that what you are talking about, this e-commerce side is very interesting. Did you feel that it changed at one moment when those companies went online, or was it already a trend?
There was some trend happening because we launched it in 2019, CG Trader Arsenal side. But of course, COVID accelerated in some cases. I mean, some customers had problems, with logistics and shipping and so on. It was much more difficult to organize anything physically. And a lot of sales went to e-commerce. And for some industries, let's say furniture is a big industry for CG Trader Arsenal, this was also quite new. They were used to having, markets every half a year where they meet their buyers and they have showrooms and things like that. And all of that needed to move into the virtual space. So 3D modeling was really the answer in many cases.
And what are some other trends you see now, where this market moves, this 3D modeling?
Yes, so I think one of the biggest trends that is very interesting is, of course, 3D replacing photography. So, if you think about it, we live in a 3D world, right? But much of our technology interactions are 2D, and there is a lot of photography and images on the social media. And actually, there is a trend that it's moving more and more into more and more interactive space. So if you think, we started in the web with the text, and then images came in, and more recently, video is becoming, one of the primary things in many platforms. And we think 3D is the next stage. On the other side, augmented reality has become much more accessible. Several years ago, Google and Apple announced ARKit and AR Core, where you don't need any dedicated app to view something in augmented reality. And that actually opened up a lot of innovation in the space. So this is also a trend that will be happening.
How did it all started with CG Trader?
Yes, so actually CG Trader was started by my colleague Marius Kalytis, and he was a 3D designer himself. He had a very successful architectural visualization studio in Lithuania, and he was buying and selling 3D models on, there was a company that was offering that type of service. It was called TurboSquid, and TurboSquid was essentially a monopoly. They were charging designers 60% commission from each sale. And the designers, they put so much time and effort and heart into their work. So for them, it was like almost a personal insult. Why is this middleman taking so much money from my work? And so Marius came up with the idea, seeing all that frustration, to create a designer-friendly marketplace. And of course, the plan was that we would have a very attractive marketplace for designers, all designers would move there in a couple of months, and then, you know, it's like happy life. But of course, it was very, very challenging in the beginning. So there were no buyers, and as a result, there were no sellers. Designers were supporting us, but they also, many of them had exclusive deals with TurboSquid, so they couldn't leave without losing some money. And so for us, breaking that was really, you know, one of the key challenges that we faced early on.
And how did you get those users to leave this your competitor?
Yeah, so it took a lot of persistence and a lot of going extra mile in these early days. The designers were not happy selling at that monopoly. And some of them, you know, even said that, guys, I can't leave. It doesn't make sense for me financially, but I support you, wish you luck. Hopefully you will change this market. And we were also very, very persistent. I remember with some of the top accounts, we worked, I don't know, 10 times. We said, like, what else can we do? You know, why? What's the reason you are reluctant to join? And so on. With some customers or some designers, we actually shipped hard drives because they didn't want to send the models through internet. So to get these models, I remember some weekends when the whole team was sitting at work and uploading models from a new seller, because of course uploading is also a big work, and when you get 10,000 models, the seller doesn't want to do that. So I remember all of us were sitting and, you know, adding tags and uploading these models. So it was we had to be very, very persistent and you know, not take no for an answer. It was actually quite challenging time.
What is currently the situation with competitors in the market?
Yeah, so in the professional market, we are the leader. We have the largest number of 3D models. We have 1.2 million models. And TurboSquid, which used to be the monopoly, they had around 900,000. So we overtook them. And TurboSquid recently actually was acquired by Shutterstock. So we are now the largest independent player in the professional market. In the e-commerce market, there are a lot of small players, but we are the leader in scale and quality because very few of them can achieve the scale that we can with all our designer community.
What I found interesting, that company was established in 2011 and you joined the company in 2013 as a co-founder. How did it happen?
Yes, so actually Maris did a lot of work in these early days. So they started and they got an early angel investment from our first angel. And just to give you a glimpse of how it looked on these days, they were working, taking pretty much no salary, and they were working in a meeting room of this angel office, where if there was a meeting, they needed to leave and free up the meeting room. So it was very, very challenging. But at the same time, they already started conversations with Praktika Capital, which was the first fund in Lithuania, first like real VC fund in Lithuania. But Praktika Capital was kind of in the stages of being established. And at that time, Maris and a couple of developers, they were kind of keeping the relationship with Praktika, but it took them a year to get established. And when they were established in late 2012, CG Trader was the first investment. And so I knew Praktika Capital team. And so they said that, you know, they are looking for more people to CG Trader. And I joined as the CMO in the company. Initially, I was planning to join for 1 month, but it quickly changed. And I was the first on the more commercial side. So, you know, Maris accepted me as a co-founder after some months. At that time, I think we were doing around 80 models sold per month. So it was still very early days.
And now you are doing how many models per month?
Well, we are doing, you know, millions in turnover per month.
But you started as a CMO in the startup. How was it? Well, we all know that startups struggle with marketing budgets, and you, I believe, didn't have this big sum to spend on experiment on different marketing activities. How was it at the beginning?
Yeah, so of course, I came from two other startups. And before, I actually had two failed startups. So for me, when I joined CGTrader, it was very interesting that in my previous startup, we worked in social media analytics space. The competition was super intensive. There were like everywhere you look, there's a competitor. And now I came to CGTrader and I started, you know, writing some emails for partnerships, like maybe, you know, do some kind of contest for designers, sponsoring and so on. And I was shocked that people would respond from the first email. So I think, you know, once you go through that process, you actually know that environment quite well. You are used to experimenting a lot and finding the right things and working with no or little budget. And I think it was very, this failed startup experience was very, very useful for me because, you know, that was not something I needed to figure out. And after a while, you really know where to focus in and what's important and what's not.
And basically, in 2 years, you became a CEO of the company and you are currently still in this position, right?
Yes.
How was this transition from the CMO to CEO?
Yeah, so actually, when we were working with Marius from in 2013, we got the investment from Intel Capital. And even though I was the CMO, I was actually quite involved in the fundraising process already then because I had experience from the previous startups and my background is in finance. Marius had always the strategic vision and also very a lot of expertise in product and 3D and so on. And so at some point when we were planning to raise the next round, the Series A round, there was this idea that maybe, you know, we change the positions and I become the CEO and he became the COO. However, we still take a lot of decisions together. It's a very kind of close partnership. We, it's not, you know, maybe a traditional hierarchy or anything like that. We still consider ourselves both, you know, equal partners and founders in the company. So that's how this has happened. It primarily happened for fundraising purposes.
What is some things you have learned, the most important things you have learned as a CEO?
It's actually an interesting question because the most important things as a CEO, they change from depending from company stage. So right now we have around 100 people and, you know, there are different things to figure out. When you have 10 people, it's a completely different story. But I think what has worked and where we achieved success over the years is when we focused on the key things and key metrics. So I remember even at early days, we were discussing with Marius and I asked him, you know, if there was a gun to your head to increase revenue, what would you do? Where would you invest? And he said, you know, SEO, search engine optimization, that's the main thing. And that was the main channel and still is for our stock model marketplace. And as the company grows, of course, very important is to hire the right people. And I've been looking for the kind of secret sauce of how to hire the right people. But actually, I don't think there is really anything you can do. So you have the interview process. We always have some kind of a little bit of work together. Let's say we call that a strategy session with more senior people or some kind of a homework task. That often shows a lot about the person. And then unsolicited references also is a good channel, but you don't always know that if you hire, let's say, in the US. But I think the key is, of course, to try to make sure that you, if you make a mistake, you also make that change quite rapidly. So that's very important. I think over time, for me, what also changed is that we had some really tough situations over the years, a few times like really close to running out of money and so on. I had to make big changes in the company and so on. And I think once you go through one or two of those big shakeups, you start thinking that, okay, we figured our way out of that station. We'll solve whatever challenge is coming our way. So it gives you this type of resilience and, you know, with not thinking that this is such a terrible crisis, I mean, you always look for a solution instead of dwelling on how bad things are. And finally, the fourth one, maybe communication. As the company grows, and it doesn't maybe come very naturally to me, but I'm trying to communicate as much as possible.
How do you deal with the stress, for example, in these situations when you have this feeling that you will run out of the money and you have to do something?
You know, there are a few things, right? So one is, you don't sleep. I mean, of course, it's in your mind, you know. I mean, it's like you can't run away of that. Like physically, it's important to take care of yourself, you know, like eat healthy and go for a run and so on. I think psychologically also very much helps to speak with the mentor or with the advisor if you have good ones. And for me and Marius, it's also very good that we have, we are two founders, so we can talk about everything openly. And we actually talk very openly, especially when it comes to our own motivation and things, you know, we try not to talk politely, but we have sometimes very, very heated discussions and try to go to the, you know, very openly to the core issue, what's happening. So I think that the biggest source of stress for me, at least, was when you have a situation where you are about to run out of money, but you need to push on the gas pedal still, trying to kind of make it work. And then in 1 hour, you are making the plans of how will you reorganize the company based on, you know, if you really have to make these decisions. And then the next hour, you have a meeting with the team and you're saying, guys, let's do it. You know, you have to live a few different personalities. So that's, I think, that causes a lot of stress. But I think that startup world, it is what it is. That's it's also stressful, but it's also exciting. So I think that's why we all are doing this.
What is the most exciting thing that happened during your CG Trader journey up until now?
I think that many things. So I think that, of course, overcoming challenges, achieving the impossible, creating something out of nothing, it's very rewarding. It's so rewarding when you have something that you know, it once was in your head, and then you have like the biggest, you know, Fortune 500 companies using it, and you know, someone like Google saying, you know, this is the best company and the best vendor in 3D and so on. So it's all of that is very rewarding. I think it's also great to see how many opportunities for the team startup world can bring. We've seen, some of the people that started as interns are now VPs at CG Trader. Some changed careers completely. So that's also very interesting to see how someone goes from support to a 3D designer and so on. That's also very exciting. Generally, I think that if you want not a boring life, the startups are the best place for you to be.
Before CG Trader, you already had this experience with startups. You had two startups. And what was interesting that already in 2007, you established first ride-sharing service in Lithuania. Can you tell a bit more about that?
Yeah, so in 2007, I was just graduating my master's, and I was thinking that, you know, I want to get rich quickly, and then employment will not bring that quickly enough. I want this good life where I do whatever I want. And I thought that, okay, so having my own business is the answer. My parents also are entrepreneurs, so I saw, you know, how they live. Of course, that's after 20 years of work in the business. But nevertheless, you know, I thought this will come sooner for me. And since I didn't have, you know, any capital, then I looked naturally to IT and technology, because it seemed that this is something that you can do. And, you know, as a student, of course, you also use buses, and it takes like half an hour to go to the bus station, 2 hours to go like from Kaunas to Vilnius, then another like 45 minutes to go to the place. So I thought that, okay, this could be much more efficient with the ride sharing. And I was talking about all these ideas with some friends, and one of them introduced me to a couple of developers who had the same idea. So we started working together, and we still, it was all part time. We had other engagements as well, but yeah, we started developing it.
And how was it?
Slowly. We saw it coming to life very slowly because we did a lot of, we decided to build a super system. We spent time, hours or weeks actually discussing whether it should be green or blue, blah, blah, blah. So it was not the most efficient approach. But nevertheless, it was, we learned, of course, a lot. And after some time, I think it was quite new. So we launched it and we got a lot of PR in Lithuania, but still not many people were using it, maybe a few. And, you know, it was a web service. It was, you know, not as convenient as something like mobile app and so on. So you had to plan ahead. And then we actually participated and submitted different applications to accelerators, and we got into one, which was called the Difference Engine, and it was based in Middlesbrough in northeast of England. So we went there. We had no idea where we are going, but we got a lot of mentoring and help there. And then we didn't raise funding. We ran out of money, and we closed it down. So that's in a nutshell.
Probably the wrong timing, because now it's booming, right?
Yes. Yeah, so actually, I remember the Lyft founders, they were our competitors. They had something else that was called ZimRide that was doing ride sharing for universities. But, you know, wrong timing is one thing, but actually it was more like wrong execution, I would say, because we didn't do a mobile app. We didn't maybe focus so much on the customer. We tried to convince people who didn't want to ride share instead of trying to get access to, you know, students and people who wanted to do it. So, I mean, I would say the timing was actually maybe quite good if you think about Uber. Of course, I don't know if I want a competitor like Uber. It's very, very, they are very aggressive, but nevertheless, I would say the timing was good, but the execution was not the best.
What happened with your next startup, Campalist?
Yeah, Campalist, it's interesting because it was born in Riga, actually, in a Garage 48 hackathon. And we had a pan-Baltic team. So we had Estonians, Latvians, and Lithuanians. And it was a very interesting experience. So we started at the hackathon, which by default means that you have a product within, you know, 48 hours or so. And after that experience with my first startup, like, I personally knew pretty well what to do and what to focus on. So we went very quickly. I mean, the next week we already started speaking with customers. In a month we had, we went to Startup Sauna Accelerator. It was marketing agencies that were the primary customers. So we spoke to agencies and customers in Finland, UK, US, and so on. In 2.5 months since the hackathon, we won SeedCamp New York, which gave us around 50,000 investment. And then after also some time, we raised the seed funding from Hank. It was a Dutch fund. And so things were moving quite quickly. And what we realized very quickly that we needed to focus on the US. Our proposition was measuring social media ROI, which means that, you know, you have a lot of fans. Does it actually bring an impact to your business? And that was quite new then because people were just measuring the number of fans. So CMO of Coca-Cola would go and say, you know, we have 35 million fans. That's such an achievement and so on. But so we focused on the ROI and that was quite new. And but for it to work, you actually had to have brands and companies that have a lot of fans. So let's say the biggest fan page in Finland, I think at that point was maybe 50,000 fans or something similar. In the US, you would find some obscure association that has 300,000 fans. So we went to US, we tried to capture that market. And then I saw how fast the market can change. So in a year, from nobody cares about ROI, it went into everybody needs ROI. And, you know, Adobe Marketing Cloud would say we are measuring ROI. Every single competitor would say that we are measuring DRI. So it was quite hard for us to withstand that competition. And at some point, the company also was close to running out of money. So I had to leave that company. And the guys tried to white label and offer it, like tried another strategy. But ultimately, the company was still shut down. So it was, I would say that from that cohort, there were some really good companies built in social media management and analytics. But maybe we were too focused on the analytics piece and we didn't provide like a full solution. And I think also the competition was brutal as well.
Coming back to CG Trader, the most successful startup for you up until now.
Yeah.
What are your next milestones? What are you planning to achieve this year, next year, next 5 years?
So actually, it's we have very ambitious plans for CG Trader, as we think that e-commerce is moving to 3D, and within several years, most of e-commerce images and visuals will be generated through 3D models instead of photography. And so we want to be the place you go. Instead of shipping all your, I don't know, sneakers to some kind of photo studio, you just send us your supplier images or, you know, even mobile phone crappy images that you have, and we generate like stunning visuals for you to sell online. And so this is where we invest a lot of time and a lot of effort. A lot of teams within CG Trader are focused on CG Trader Arsenal. So we have very ambitious plans there. We just hired a CRO in the US, and we are building our US team. We already have some of the biggest retailers in the US as customers, but we want to be the dominant player in that market. So that's where a lot of our focus is currently at.
And what about yourself? You said that you want to get rich fast and then retire, and like that was I think dream of a lot of young people. Do you still think that it is a good idea, or you enjoy your journey as a CEO?
Yeah, so actually I agree that was probably me as a young person that having that type of dream, but I think that, you know, over the process I fell in love with this startup journey, and I think it's I think I will be doing them all the time, because I always get so excited about new ideas and things that can be done, you know, and you can see that the world is changing, there is opportunity here and there. So for me personally, with CG Trader, it's like a new company every year. So you know, it's a completely different process when you work with 10 people, 20, 40, 100, and, you know, 200, hopefully next year. So it's, I feel that as long as I can add value, I, you know, I enjoy this work at CG Trader. But my focus is always to look, to make sure that the company grows. So it's ultimately not so much about me and, you know, what I enjoy, but I think you always have to, I mean, for a startup founder, it's always you don't have any kind of certainty, right? So for me, I always try to not even think about my career, what it means for me, and so on and so on, but more think about how can I move this company forward.
Yeah, so I hope that we will hear a lot about CG Trader in the future, or probably some new projects created by you. So I wish you luck with all your dreams coming true.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Eva, for having us.
That's it for this episode. Wash hands, wear masks, vaccinate, and stay healthy. I will talk to you soon. My name is Eva, and I'm the founder and host of the Baltic Startup Mafia podcast.